Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P. Today is Thursday, June 8th, 2023, and I am in New York, where 30 to 40% of people in New York are wearing a mask again. I was in the city today, Dr. T. I was in Manhattan, and it was amazing. Amazing how many
because
people
of the fires in. Is it really that I mean does it smell that bad there that
well much- I'll tell you, yesterday I was on Long Island, and I will tell you that it's the morning sun was red, and you know what happens when the morning sun is red. It's sailor's warning, right? And it looked ominous. The sky really, really looked ominous on Long Island. And when I went out for lunch, I tell you, it smelled like 9/11.
Really?
This was no forest fire. I don't care what anybody says. And I have other people who were very aware that the smell that we were smelling was not something that was just forest fires. No way. No way. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. And I was in Manhattan in September of 2001, and I lived in Manhattan for another year after 9/11. So I remember that smell very distinctly. I was maybe 80 blocks from where the towers came down. I'm telling you, this was no forest fire in what we were getting. And you shouldn't have seen a complete obstruction of the sky with just forest fires.
And particularly because of how far away they are.
Correct. And so many of us, you know, sort of here we go with critically thinking, Dr. T.
Because like, I was looking at today, I looked up a map of where these fires are. It's a long ways away. I mean, it would have to be the entire country of Canada being on fire for a long time to fill up that much particular matter to go that far south.
Right.
So I'm saying that as an aside to support what you're saying, that I agree with you.
No, and there were many of us who actually said, wait a second, this doesn't smell like a forest fire. And if it were really a forest fire, why would the entire sky from New Jersey all the way through Long Island down to Philadelphia be one big mass of smoke? Doesn't smoke just sort of ununiformly take over the sky if there are fires? The entire haze, the entire sky was full, one big haze. And that just, it was suspicious. It was very suspicious to us. It was a very suspicious color. It was a very suspicious odor. It was eerie. And it just didn't smell. It just didn't smell like trees. And again, I remember 9/11 very distinctly. I didn't feel well yesterday after having been out for part of the day. I will tell you that near my office, there were people who were sitting outside at a restaurant having lunch outside in the absolute incinerated smell of the air. And the Yankee game was canceled. The Philadelphia Phillies game was also canceled. And the last 24 hours, the smoke, whatever this is, has moved down to the Maryland, DC area. And it sort of cleared pretty much in the New York, New Jersey area. But it looked like a very ominous sky. It just didn't look like smoke from a forest fire. The layer of smoke, the density of the sky was all one haze. And you wouldn't see that with smoke from a fire, right? Because it would drift. It would drift. It would break up. It wouldn't just be this huge, and there's something very suspicious about it. In any case, this is a good time to remember that we're sponsored by cardiomiracle.com. Cardiomiracle, great product, antioxidant, nitric oxide, has a number of antioxidants in it. Good for energy, good for your heart. Use CT15, critically thinking CT15, as your code for first 15% off. And of course, EMFSOL, another associate of ours. Please use the associate code that Cookie can put up for you or Heather, and support our show and take an opportunity to see if any of these products that EMFSOL sells can help you mitigate the effects of what the 5G and the electromagnetic pulsations do to your body. I will tell you, I put iodine on my body when I went into the city today. It was gone very quickly, very, very quickly. And having used the chlorine dioxide, Dr. T, I'll tell you that it was taking much longer for the iodine to go away. But going into the city today, iodine was gone very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. So there is a little bit of sports that I want to throw out there if you're interested. The Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets are embattled in the NBA Finals, and the Denver Nuggets are now beating the Heat 2-1. Denver really took care of the Miami Heat last night in a lopsided victory. And I don't know if you follow golf. Are you interested in golf at all?
A little bit.
So the PGA was the only game in town until last year. And the LIV Golf was a new league, so to speak, that was started in Saudi Arabia. And there were a number of very famous PGA golfers who defected and went to LIV Golf. And they were paid millions of dollars. I mean, we're talking boatloads of millions of dollars to come over and play in the LIV Golf tournaments. There were fewer tournaments and they were getting buckets of money. And the PGA was not able to pay the golfers that much money. And the PGA was just losing its steam. The head, the commissioner of the PGA, Jay Monahan, came out last year and railed against the Saudi Arabians for paying this much money. And he was livid. He really railed against them. He even went so far as to say that he invoked the Saudi Arabians and their role in 9/11. So he went there. And there were a number of PGA golfers who were very angry that golfers from the PGA were defecting and going into LIV Golf. All of a sudden, last week, there was an agreement made between PGA and LIV Golf to merge. And LIV Golf is now going to be, and the whole thing together, it's still a proposal, is going to be supported by the Saudi Arabian Investment Fund. And so now all these PGA golfers are going to get the money if they choose to stay in the league from the Saudi Arabians. And The commissioner, Jay Monahan, is looking like a real hypocrite and trying to backtrack because he's the one who agreed after railing against the Saudi Arabians for, you know, basically luring all these golfers out of America to Saudi Arabia to play in their tournaments and invoking the Saudi Arabian 9/11 connection. And now he's taking their money.
But wouldn't he had to have been at the negotiating table?
Correct. He's backtracking. He's saying, well, that was then, and this is now, and opinions change, and things change. And so you can imagine how ugly it looks. And eventually, all the golfers will, well, not all, but there may be golfers who just defect and don't want to play because they really are against taking money from the Saudi Arabian Investment Fund. But it's very interesting what's going on. It's still, you know, opening. We're still figuring out what's going on, but he does not look good. And several of the American golfers, or even non-American golfers who were part of the PGA, are very pissed. Very pissed.
So I wonder, I've not heard anything about this, and it's not really a circle that I follow. But, you know, this big global push to do away with gas and oil. You know, you can't have a gas stove. You're going to do away with gas laundry dryers, all the gas cars. And where, I mean, how's the Saudi sitting with that? You know, have you read anything or anything like, you know, the petrodollars, and I mean, gas and oil and Saudi Arabia and Qatar and Kuwait and UK, or I'm not UK, but in Russia, are like the number one industries.
I still think they're going to find a way to make their money. I don't think it's going to be troublesome for them. I think they have their plans all set out. So I'm not worried about them. And I don't think they're worried.
It's not about worried. I just am curious about why they're tolerating all this stuff, you know?
Because I don't think it's going to stop them from selling their oil. Hmm.
Could be.
Who knows?
I hope it's true.
Yeah. It's all a ploy, but in any case. Dr. T, before we go on, do you want to talk about the boot camp, Five Docs Boot Camp? Introduce everybody again to what we're planning starting July 6th and ending August 10th. And please know that the Five Docs are going to be involved in a six-week boot camp starting Thursday, July 6th, opening with Dr. Merritt and Dr. Made, and of course, Dr. Tenpenny, and ending on August 10th with all five of us. I get my iodine from iodinesource.com. That's one of the sources that can be used. I know Dr. T uses Lugol, is that correct?
Oh, no. We have in the past, but now that they require Lugols to have it needs to be prescription, and you have to get it filled at a pharmacy.
Oh, wow.
So there's lots of other probably better choices.
Got it.
One thing So go ahead.
Okay. So you want to talk more about the Five Docs, and then we can move on to other topics?
Yeah. We're just pretty excited about it. You know, starts July the 6th and goes through August the 10th.
Correct.
And so it's six Thursday nights in a row. The first one, as Larry was saying, was Dr. Lee Merritt, and Carrie's going to support that a little bit of how ethics got here and what we are doing. And, you know, I did an interview with Lee yesterday, like you and I are going to do tonight, you know, and so, you know, she was saying that the, I am so tired today, Larry, you have to forgive my brain. You know, when we graduate from medical school and that oath that we do, first do no harm. And what is that called? What is that little thing?
Hippocratic oath.
Hippocratic oath. Thank you. Yeah. The original Hippocratic oath. She's going to talk about that. That the first line of the original Hippocratic oath is about talk to your patients about nutrition. In the original Hippocratic Oath, it goes all the way back to Greece. So she's going to talk about the ethics of how we got here, and it's going to be really super interesting. And then the following week, Carrie's going to talk about how to live a healthy life. And then the next week, Carrie and Dr. P are going to be talking about becoming your own healer. So, you know, if you're going to live a healthy life, then you need to know how to do that from the inside out. You want to say just a word about what you're going to talk about there, Larry?
Well, Dr. Made and I haven't spoken yet, but I think it mostly revolves around the idea that for more than a century, we as a culture have been influenced to rely on the medical system and the pharmaceutical industry to help keep us well. And the new consciousness is actually how we can actually take care of ourselves without being influenced and seduced into thinking that the only way towards health is through pharmakia or vaccination.
Very cool. Yeah, that's, I'm glad that I'm going to be part of one of these every week. You know, it's just me and Matt. And, you know, so you're going to get three out of the six docs every week. You know, the next week, you know, have you, I know you and Chris are talking tomorrow. You right. and Dr. Northrup are talking about maternal child health care for the 21st century. She's going to be talking about, you know, natural birth and, you know, what to do during pregnancy. And Larry's going to be talking about why you don't need a pediatrician.
Well, I'm going to talk about, actually, we are going to talk about preconception. So how to prepare to get pregnant. And then, of course, we'll talk about the health during the pregnancy. And, of course, the perinatal, the birth process, and then the newborn period. But it's not about not needing your pediatrician. It's about how to have a different relationship with a pediatrician and how to understand what your rights are and what your abilities are when you walk into a pediatrician's office and when to not need a pediatrician and when to need a pediatrician. It's really the public that's going to drive the demand for a different kind of healthcare. And I'm hoping that the more we empower people to become their own healers, and the more we empower people to utilize the non-pharmakia, non-vaccination model, the more we can move to the next phase of living so that the reliance goes down and your empowerment goes up. So that's what we're hoping.
Yeah. And then the next week, week five, which is August the 3rd, I'm going to be talking about exiting the system. We're going to be talking about cash-based healthcare and why people need to give up their, the first word out of their mouth being, does my insurance pay for it? And what to do instead? And how does, like, how to take care of yourself at home? And when do you need to go to the ER and when do you not? You know, even for things like, I can't tell you over the years when I was an ER doc, Larry, you probably saw the same thing. How many people came storming into the ER because they'd cut their finger and they thought they needed a tetanus shot. And they cut their finger while they were washing dishes in warm soapy water. You know, so, I mean, things like that. So exiting the system.
And they bled, which is the antithesis to developing a tetanus infection.
Right, exactly. It not only does it push dirt out from the inside out, it also brings, you know, healing molecules and oxygen and all those things into the wound for which a tetanus spore can't exist. So, I mean, Carrie and I are going to talk about how to exit this, exiting the system, and sort of as a piggyback on what Larry and Dr. Chris are going to be talking about what does a new healthcare system look like? You know, if we're going to exit what we've got, you know, what do we want the new one to kind of look like? And then on the last night, on August the 10th, the last night that we are here, it will be your typical five docs all together. And we'll be recapping what we've been talking about the previous 5 weeks and then looking towards the future. I mean, taking this all together as a collective. So it's going to be really super cool. I mean, you know, we've done, you know, Matt and I have been doing boot camps since 2017. And the first 3 or 4 years, it was about mastering vaccine info. And then we did a couple things during COVID about COVID. And then we did a prepper boot camp, two prepper boot camps, and one called the money camp, which was last summer. And so this idea of getting all the five docs together, because I don't know about you, Larry, but when I go out to events, places, you know, places with a bunch of people, people will come up and go, oh, Dr. Ted Petty, I love you so much, but I really love the five docs. It's like, yeah, okay. So thank you. You know, it's really good. So, you know, everything that we do is kind of like synergistic, and it's really fun. I've really enjoyed the development of our friendships in this little brand that we've put together for the last couple of years. And so, I mean, you know, it's just a really good thing. In fact, I was thinking today, Larry, I just saw that they're canceling the five for next year. Wouldn't it be, we should go in the five, you know, television show, because there was the comment in the article was they, of the people they polled, 78% of people said they would rather have an hour watching paint dry than an hour of watching the five. So maybe we ought to hijack our brand and go over and take up that primetime slot there of the five docs.
Is that the show that Dell was the producer for?
No, that was the docs. That was the doctors.
So what's the five? Are you talking about
Whoopi Goldberg and
The View?
Oh, I'm sorry, The View. You're right. I'm sorry, right. The View. They're canceling The View. They said they'd rather watch paint dry. 78% of the people. They'd rather watch the paint dry. So maybe we should take the five docs and see if we could do it. Wouldn't that be great? Have a primetime television show with the five docs? Because we talk about both conventional and alternative, and you know, we get along and we can argue and debate and still have fun and give good information. It'd be great.
So I saw a clip of The View with Joy Behar and who must have an MD and a PhD in just about every category imaginable that you can get an MD and a PhD in. And one of the mothers in my practice was on as a guest and started saying all these things about the COVID shot and trying to speak truth. And Joy Behar, who again is, you know, much more intelligent than you and I could ever imagine to be, starts dismissing her and, oh my God, you know, we got to get you off. This is crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. And I thought, wow, now what's your expertise? You're just spewing what you're told, but what is your expertise? So yeah, I saw the little thing about taking the five doc show to Twitter. Yeah, somebody's got to watch us enough to pick us up. You don't know how TV works.
Yeah, but they just said we could take the five doc show to Twitter like Tucker Carlson did and get 50 million views, you know?
Yeah, well, Tucker Carlson had some amazing first show. Did you see his little Twitter rant show? Yeah. For those of you who haven't seen it, I highly recommend getting his little blurb. It's about
and
10.
Fox is now suing him for something about breach of contract. So it's probably, the breach of contract, if there's any, which is probably all fabricated, would be how dare you go on Twitter and have so many followers? You know, you're stealing them away from us, you know?
But how could it be breach of contract if they fired him from the contract?
But don't they fire him?
If you fire somebody,
did they fire him is my question.
Well, I mean,
we really don't know. Was it a mutually, you know, parting of the ways, you know?
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't really know that.
But it is interesting. It is interesting, speaking of Twitter, that Elon Musk is interviewing or did interview RFK Jr. on Twitter. It's very interesting that occurred. I didn't get to see it. Did anybody? I don't know if
I didn't see it, but some of the people that I did that he did that they did see it said it was really good.
I mean, RFK is brilliant. I mean, the man has a historical perspective that's second to none. So I'm glad that he was on there. I don't know how many views he had, but the guy has an amazing perspective. Yeah. It usually is long because RFK Jr.'s got so much information.
The same. Just to wrap up what we were talking about the boot camp. So be sure you guys mark your calendars, July 6th to the 10th. It'll be from 8:30 p.m. to
9:45.
To 9:45, 10 o'clock. You know, they usually run a little bit over as we sort of wrap up at the end. But the month of July is a big month for all of us, Larry. I mean, you know, month of July, the first 4 weeks in July, Happy Hour is running a 4-part series with J.B. Hickson on the spirit of the Antichrist. He's written 2 books, part one and part two, that they're really good and very easy to read. He's a really good writer. It's called The Spirit of the Antichrist. That's from 6 to 7. And then you and I will do Critically Thinking from 7 to 8. And then we'll go get some water and some food. And then we'll come back and we'll do Critically Thinking, or we'll do the boot camp from 8:30 to 10. So I just told everybody, you know, what you need to do is just mark your calendars. Thursday nights, the month of July, you're just spending it with us. You're just going to have you know, it's 6 o'clock is happy hour with JB Dixon. So eat an early dinner, have some non-microwavable popcorn, some real popcorn that you pop in a pot with good oil and lots and lots of organic good butter. And then just sit down and enjoy the evening with us. So the other thing is if you can't join us live because of time zones or other commitments or whatever on that Thursday night, if you register for the boot camp, you'll have a whole year to access it. Each one of the docs are putting together a short little PowerPoint presentation with some supporting documentation we call the doc box, like one or two or however many PDF files that kind of go along with their topic that they would like to share with you, and a quiz. Don't worry about it. It's 10 questions of true and false. It's not a big deal over the stuff you just listened to. But it is a way to kind of like, you know, see how much did I really get out of that? And then, and you'll have a whole year to watch it. So we really, really, really hope that you'll join us and you'll join us live and mark your calendars off from July 6th to August the 10th.
And start gathering your organic popcorn now and start gathering your clean water now. And start gathering your organic, raw, pastured butter now. Go back and listen to Dr. T's boot camp from last year about how to prepare and how to stay safe in the coming years. So, Dr. T, you had the pleasure last weekend, June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, to be at the Austin event with the showing of The Great Awakening, Plandemic 3. And you had a beautiful montage on Instagram of your being there and the people you were with. And I'm wondering if you could share with us what you saw, what people might be interested in knowing about, and what your experience was.
It was really a fun event, Larry. I mean, it was really exhausting. It was a long, part of the reason, and that this week has just been really busy, but it was really good. It was, those events to me are always kind of fun to go to because it's a little bit like a family reunion. You know, you get to see friends of ours and colleagues that you don't get to see very often, or maybe once a year, maybe once every couple of years. So the dinner on Friday night was actually really quite good. It was very, very good and very well attended. And then the premiere was good. I mean, they had sort of a VIP meet and greet ahead of time. So you got to meet a lot of people. What I found kind of amusing to me is like, I'm watching the video, the movie, all about 2/3 of the people who were actually in the movie were people that I've interviewed for my podcast. So I'm kind of like going through the conversations that I had with them while I'm watching on the movie. But then what was really an interesting part was, you know, when you're meeting people all the time on Zoom, I mean, you see them from here up, you know, they're little talking heads, right? And then you meet these people in person. And the one that blew me away was Riza Islam. He's like 6'5". He's this really tall person. And the other person that I met in person was Sasha Stone. And we had breakfast together. And Sasha's like 6 foot something. Mm-hmm. And I remember I said to Sasha, I didn't know that you were this tall. He said, do I come off as a short person? I said, no. And then there was a couple of other people that were really short. And so it was kind of interesting to meet people in person that you've only kind of known, you know, on Zoom or on phone calls or something at a distance. I thought the movie was extraordinarily well done. I thought the historical things that they brought in, I mean, the whole purpose of, you know, and I just done a couple of weeks ago, this week with Dr. T in a deep dive with Ed Griffin. And G. Edward Griffin is sort of the main character all the way through. They have this interview of what he was talking about. I missed the date at the beginning. I think it was in the 60s. And all the way through, and then it morphed into his 91-year-old person at the end. And I remember when I did that podcast interview with him a couple of weeks ago, when I did, it was amazing. And it was my prayer after I did that interview with him was like, dear God, give me the stamina the clearness of mental clarity and the way you can express and still have so much drive at 91 or 92 years old to start a whole new movement, which is what he was trying to do. The movie really kind of tore apart. The core of the movie was the explaining and understanding the danger of the isms, socialism, Marxism, communism, fascism, you know, all those things, and why America is right on a teetering precipice of what are we going to be going forward. I wish the movie would have had a little bit stronger call to action at the end, you know, given like three or four or five. Here, start here, do these things. And if those don't resonate with you, use these as a critically thinking thought process and find something that does. Because a lot of it was a little bit preaching to the choir, and because we were all there, and the people that were there kind of were in the movement and already kind of doing that. And I think that part of the reason that people aren't doing anything is because there are no clear leadership giving people at least suggestions. If they're not really like doing it, they need to suggest people to doing it. It's not the kind, if you haven't seen the film, I really highly recommend it, but it's not the type of movie that you can kind of listen to in the background while you're doing something else. Like sometimes documentaries, you can just sort of listen to it. This is something you really have to watch. And it was a sobering message, a very sobering message about where we are. And in some of the other conversations, almost everybody publicly was saying, you know, if we don't really take strong action now, in 5 years, we won't have a country. And in private conversations, those same people were saying, when I said, do you really think it's 5 years? They say, no, it's probably three. And so it was sobering. You know, along with the funness and the celebration of Mickey's work and the storyline of what this, the good thing that was about, it was sobering. And hopefully it was sobering enough that people will take it seriously.
Yeah. It's so interesting that people are thinking in 3 to 5 years, we won't have a country. I'm not sure that they're looking at what's going on today. I don't think we have a country now.
Truly. And that's, you know, that's some of the other conversations I had with people there that had nothing at all to do with the movie. I had some outside meetings of people when I was in Austin, and they were saying, you know, the only thing that's holding up the country right now is the belief it still exists.
And then, the Second Amendment.
Yeah, probably the Second Amendment. You know, and then I don't know, was it Lee that posted that thing in our chat this morning about the person that somebody had gone to CPAC and had gone down? Was that in our chat?
Yeah, she actually posted it on her Telegram page.
Yeah.
And she posted it on the chat. And I'll read it for you.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second. Lee, there it is. My friend was at CPAC and went with a buddy to the center of DC. It's all closed. No people flow. Capital is all in scaffolding. Federal Reserve is closed, and there's metal junk all over the lawn, front lawn. The Treasury has two guards out front, but no activity. The White House is shut and quiet. And that was her comment.
And I don't know what that means, that the Capitol's under scaffolding.
I don't know.
Like they've been waiting all these years so that there was no tourists so that they could paint it. I mean, what does that really mean?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many of you, I know we're, you know, unfortunately Lee's not here for me to get her take on this. I don't know how many of you are subscribers to her Telegram, but
it's really good. It's the only Telegram channel of other people's stuff that I read every day. And I don't read it every day, but I read all the posts. I may read it every few days, you know?
But the one that she put today, I really appreciated because, and we can have a conversation about this for hours, Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 was shot down on the 17th of July in 2014 while flying over eastern Ukraine. All 283 passengers and 15 crew were killed. This was because the plane had world-renowned AIDS researcher Dr. Joab Lang, who was going to declare HIV as a man-made disease. Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. You know, that Kabuki Theater, right?
You know, I remember, you know, I was a medical student and resident in the 80s and just in the first year of the 90s. And I remember the kinds of patients we saw. And I remember in the 90s being in New York City and starting to go to some of the alternative thinking meetings with people who were questioning the whole HIV and AIDS. And I remember, Sherry, how badly the people were deboweled for having an alternative view. And I remember the AZT debacle and how many people died because of AZT and how AZT was promoted by Dr. You-Know-Who, who is promoting the same pattern of create disease, create treatment, and create more deaths. And it's just the same cycle and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. And so I think there's a lot to have. I'm sure that in the coming years, when more and more truths are brought out, we're going to see some really interesting stuff come out about HIV and AIDS. So anyway, great article, great post. And then there was an interesting post from Dan Bongino. You know him, right?
I don't know him personally, but I know who he is. Yeah.
You know, and he really threw, you know, a fear bullet at people in his post, basically saying, have food, have water, have a weapon, and have a plan because of what he thinks is coming. And, you know, again, I don't know how much of truth is that. I really don't. We're certainly watching things, fires and manhole covers, the bombs underneath the earth that are happening in cities all over the country. I know it happened in New York. Are you familiar with what's going on around the manhole bombings?
I am not. You know, I follow Lee on her Telegram channel, you know, and she's been threatening a couple of times. She said it more than once. I need to go back and get a map and like put little pins, you know, or little black marks on where all these manhole cover things have happened. Because they've been not only in major metropolitan cities, which has kind of been the lion's share of them, but kind of in bizarre little tiny towns all over the place.
Right.
I don't really know what that means. She keeps thinking it's blowing up all of the, she thinks there's an underground, you know, kind of war going on, and that this is the blowing up of the dumps, the deep underground bunkers system, right. And that there's other types of things happening underground. But I don't really, the sum total of what I know about it is what she posts about it. And if she wouldn't have been posting about it, I wouldn't have known anything about it.
But I think she's also posting the possibility that there are clones that are down there, that there are these odd forms of life that are also down in the bowels. But I think, didn't she show a map of all of the connections under the United States sort of like a, not a submarine because it's on land, but all these connections in an underground world that's happening, that's connected under the
Something like that.
There was something I just wanted to ask you. I missed it. I wanted to play something. I was going to wait till the end, but I want to play it now because I think it's really appropriate for the times that we're dealing with. So here goes.
Sending a dog became pregnant at the same time. 3 months down the line, the dog gave birth to 6 puppies. 6 months later, the dog was pregnant again. And 9 months on, it gave birth. Elephant and a dog became pregnant at the same time. 3 months down the line, the dog gave birth to 6 puppies. 6 months later, the dog was pregnant again. And 9 months on, it gave birth to another dozen puppies. The pattern continued. On the 18th month, the dog approached the elephant questioning, "Are you sure that you are pregnant? We became pregnant on the same date. I have given birth 3 times to a dozen puppies and they are now grown to become big dogs, yet you are still pregnant. What's going on?" The elephant replied, "There is something I want you to understand. What I am carrying is not a puppy, but an elephant. I only give birth to 1 in 2 years. When my baby hits the ground, the earth feels it. When my baby crosses the road, human beings stop and watch in admiration. What I carry draws attention. So what I'm carrying is mighty and great. Don't lose faith when you see others receive answers to their prayers in what seems like record time. Don't be envious of others' testimony. If you haven't received your own blessings, don't despair. Say to yourself, my time is coming. And when it hits the surface of the earth, people shall yield in admiration. Do not compare your journey to anyone else's." Elephant and a dog became pregnant at the same
time. Ooh, Larry, that's super cool. Can you send that to me?
I'll try.
Or post it. Post it later.
I'll try.
Elephant and a dog became pregnant at the same time.
That's super cool.
Trying to figure out how to copy it. There we go.
6 months later, the dog was pregnant again.
Okay, let me see if I can send it to Cookie. Go ahead. Here we go.
That's super cool. I mean, it's, yeah.
I sent it to Cookie.
It's hard to remember that sometimes, but it's very good.
Yeah. I like it. I like it when I get these things because, you know, for those of you who are watching, Dr. T and I may show a lot of our positivity or a lot of our rah-rah most of the time or a lot of our inspiration. But, you know, we need things like that just as much as you do. We go through our doldrums. We go through our dark times. We go through our, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to help anybody. I don't care. Leave me alone. And then we repair. And then we regenerate, and then we come back. So these are important inspirations for all of us because there is an ebb and flow and a constant ebb and flow to our lives just as much. And I'll tell you, for me personally, I get a lot of my inspiration and a lot of my drive from those moments of really being in the doldrums, really being in the, I don't want to see the world anymore. You can all go to hell. Leave me the freak alone. I don't want to be bothered. And then we come back. Because ultimately, we know that our destiny is going to be our destiny. So I like to post some of these things so that you can enjoy the process that we go through as well. So that's why I like doing those things.
That one was particularly good. Thank you.
Yeah. But Jimmy Dore, do you know Jimmy Dore? Mm-mm. The comedian. All right. Hold on. You know who this guy is. You know
him. You know how bad I am with names.
But the weird thing that happened around COVID, I'd never noticed this before in any other time of my life, but you weren't allowed to ask questions at any point during this. You just had to, do it the manner.
Little technology here. Gotta love technology.
The man on the TV said, right? You had to do what the man on the TV said without questions, and then you're a good person. But if you question it, then you're a white supremacist Trumper. Not, you're like, well, no, I didn't vote for Trump. I just have questions. Jimmy, only dumb people ask questions. No, I'm pretty sure we're supposed to question authority. It's like a value. Is that what they taught you in comedy school? Yeah, that is what they taught me in comedy school. Isn't that weird? It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Even comedians would get on stage and they would shame people for trying to get informed about a medical treatment that was experimental that they had to take or they would lose their jobs and they wouldn't be able to travel. And when people tried to get informed about that, other people shamed them. They would say, please tell me you're not going to do your own research. You've heard people say that. Please don't do your own research. You know, before COVID, doing your own research used to be called reading. Now you're shaming me for reading at the behest of Big Pharma? It's like I woke up in the middle of a Bill Hicks bit. Well, it looks like we got ourselves a reader. Tell me, boy, what you reading for? Don't you know everything that needs to be read has already been read by a smart person? That's how much people internalized the propaganda for Big Pharma, was that they would shame, it would be anti-intellectual enough to shame people for reading while they're wagging their finger at them for doing it. You would never shame people for trying to get informed, no matter what other subject it was, no matter how unimportant. Like if I say, hey, I'm gonna go buy a car. Don't look into it. Well, how will I know which car to get? Ask the salesman. He's the expert. What are you, Henry Ford?
I think that line, ask the salesman, he's the expert, was probably the funniest piece in that little clip. Because that's basically, you would never go buy a house without asking the inspector, doing your own check of the roof, the water heater, the boiler, the windows, the basement, right? You would never buy a house unless you went through all that process. But taking a shot, no, I don't have to ask the doctor. I just take it. I just take it.
Yep. Same thing with putting on a mask, getting Q-tips crammed up your nose, you know, standing 6 feet apart and thinking you were safe. You know, I saw a couple of videos. I don't know, or maybe they were little clips of things of like things that were going on during COVID. Like, I don't remember seeing these. They were all kind of ridiculous. Like the ones where you saw like a high school band sitting around in zip up, plastic things because they were playing a wind instrument, you know, and the yoga class was out in the front patio area and were all in their little bubbles so that they would be apart from each other. But I saw one that I don't remember seeing, Larry. I don't remember seeing this one during all of the clips of the gal that was on the bus that was wrapping herself in the cellophane little cocoon.
Right. Right.
This one I had never seen before. And it was a woman who had created like a cellophane dress. And around the bottom of the dress was hanging like a hula hoop. And it said 6 feet in diameter, you know, so it was keeping everything. And she was walking through the store, like knocking everything off the shelves. I thought, oh my God. Somebody needs to make sure that they know who that woman is, and after the fact, show her that video. Like, you know, sort of like when you did like the stupidest things in the world when you were in high school, and then you turn 40 and your mom and dad show you those pictures or those videos, you know? Oh, people have just lost their minds. And the problem is, Larry, that most of them haven't gotten their minds back.
No.
You know, and I remember that they, one of the, my favorite expressions is, of all the things I've lost, I missed my mind the most.
That's right.
You know, and they've never gotten it back. And it's just going to get more crazy. You know, somebody's out here about the World Health Organization, the vaccine passports and the 15-minute city thing. You know, when they first started talking about 15-minute cities, which wasn't very long ago, a few months, I thought it was some sort of futuristic concept. I thought this was like futuristic, like 10, 15 years from now, this is something they would aim towards. And they're doing it as we speak. And there's 100 countries that are supposed to be trial ballooning the central bank digital currency starting next month. And we've got FedNow starting here in the US this month. I mean, and people are not going to resist it. They're not. They've broken people's minds. They battered down their spirit. They, you know, because Americans have lost their will to fight. I mean, think about, you know, historically Americans. I mean, we were the cavalier. We were the people that, you know, that rode in, you know, on the horses and to save everybody because, you know, we were going to be willing to fight. And people have lost their willing to fight. And with just the last couple of years have just crushed them. And they're just like, okay, whatever. You know, put me in a little room and give me my UBI, my universal basic income. And, you know, like that little movie of that little guy that lived in that little place, you know, and just kind of lost their will to fight.
I think it looks like that. But let's not close the door on the possibility that there's an 11th hour
resurgence.
Yes.
Okay. I'll go with that.
Keep my mind open at that possibility. There, because there are going to be people who go down into this, you know, the passports, who go down into the 15-minute cities, who want daddy to take care of them, thinking they're going to get a job and they're going to the gas chamber. There are definitely going to be people who do that. But I don't think it's going to be everyone. I think there's going to be a resurgence. You know, when the New York City mayor actually says to people that they should start inviting the illegal immigrants into their homes to live in their spare bedrooms, what do you think is going to happen? You think people are going to do it? Do you think people are going to look at it and go, what are you, out of your mind?
I think what's going to happen is they're going to start out by asking people politely, and then they're going to force people to do it.
You do?
I do.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of war if that happens.
Same as the shots, right?
Yeah, but it's different when you're asked to make an illegal immigrant live in your house.
Listen, I will tell you, I know in my knower, I mean, I live in a nice size house. You know, it's much bigger than I personally need, but I like my house. And it's on a dead end cul-de-sac street. There's like 17 houses on this street. And I can 100% assure you, there are at least four families, and all the houses are like this size. Actually, mine is like the smallest, and mine's pretty good size. I know there's at least three or four families, 100%, that if they were asked to take illegal aliens into their house, they would say, absolutely. Absolutely. I've got an extra spare bedroom. Welcome.
And you'd be able to sleep at night?
No.
That's to the people. You'd be able to sleep at night.
I think it would be horrifying.
You'd think that your kids were safe when you go to bed at night.
No, I wouldn't.
No, I'm talking to them.
Oh, them. Oh, yes, they would say yes. They just need a place to stay, and you know, we're white privilege, and we have all these things, and so we need to, like, you know, make equality. You know, that whole, what is that, equality, diversity, and. You know, the podcast I did last week with was really interesting with Rainer Zeitman, obviously a guy from Germany, and he was talking about that equality, diversity, equality, and what's the I stand for? Diversity, equality, and somebody will tell me over here. But they said, you know, there's no such thing in that.
Inclusion.
Thank you. That the diversity, there's no such thing as diversity in those circles. The diversity is you all agree with what I have to say, which is this is how it's supposed to be. And equality, there's no equality. It's all just equal distribution. As they start telling people they got to have people in their house, there's going to be a boatload of people who are going to just go right along with it. Sort of like all those $500 a night hotels where they put all those people up in downtown London and in the UK and all over the place. And, you know, John Mappin with Camelot Castle was the only one that stood up and said, you're not doing that to my property. I'm not letting anybody in here. And how they have destroyed everything about those properties.
Well, I will tell you, having been in New York City today, the place is a jungle. It's horrible. There are places that are all boarded up because shops are closed. The city feels dirty. I lived in the city for 30 years.
Wow. And
I'll tell you, it is not a place that I would want to be in. And I went to the building where I used to work. Where I used to live, which is off Times Square, and it's really disgusting. It's just horrible. People, I mean, you could see people are just out to lunch. I mean, you just don't see health in the city very much. You really don't.
What all did you see down there, Larry? Was it just all boarded up, or was
for
it
a lot? I mean, I walked from Penn Station, which is 34th Street and 7th Avenue, all the way up to Central Park South, which is like 59th Street and 6th Avenue. And then I walked back down 8th Avenue, went to the building where I used to live, and then walked back to Penn Station. It just was dirty. It was eerie. It didn't feel like the New York that I know. The air was cleaner. I was walking and I felt safe, but there's so many stores that were boarded up, areas where two or three shops in a row had for rent signs or just empty spaces. A lot of the stores that I used to know were gone. Restaurants gone, buildings torn down. It was just really disgusting.
And somebody, Judy, posted over here too. They did the same thing in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Which is one of the nicest areas in, you know, around Phoenix.
Right. So as we wrap up a little bit, I want to just say that it's not clear what these fires are from, what is in the air because of the fires, where the fires are actually emanating from, and whether or not it's just another distraction for us so that we turn our eyes and ears and attention away from what else may really be going on. So stay awake, stay alert, keep your head out from the rabbit hole, because who knows what is really behind all these fires. Certainly the trains blowing up, the factories blowing up, the animals being killed, the lab meats that are now being pushed on everybody. And for those of you who are interested, you have 24 hours to go get Dr. Mercola's article on how the lab meats are really grown. But they have lots of non-vegan DNA materials. There's fetal bovine serum in it. There's possibly even human DNA in it. So for all you vegans out there thinking that you're getting good stuff with all this lab-grown meat, good luck to you for your health. Regardless of whether you're vegan or not, if you're eating that stuff, good luck to your health. You got to be crazy to be putting any of that manufactured stuff in you. So again, poisoning the water, poisoning the food, poisoning the air. Anybody getting it yet? So stay awake, stay alert. I'm not sure if this is a distraction or not, but don't lose sight of what they might be doing. I still think that they're losing. I still think that their end game is over soon. I do think that they're going to try to create as much destruction as possible. But I still think there's a side of ours that's working in our favor. And for goodness sake, please stop waiting for someone to save you. Take your life into your hands, prepare, be ready, and know who your friends, know who your colleagues are, know who's going to help you. And stop focusing on fixing what's wrong and making the people who did these things pay. That's only going to feed into their salivation and their orgasms, because that's what they want. They want us to go and fight them. Nope. Go and go on with a life in a different consciousness and create the kind of life that you really want to create to the best of your ability. Yes, Donald Trump was just indicted today for misclassified documents.
Oh my God.
Handling classified documents. More distractions.
And more BS.
More distractions.
More BS. And Hunter Biden and the Clintons run free. And, you know, and our person that says he's president allows Washington, D.C. to be boarded up and shut down. And I mean, seriously.
Well, again, remember, Washington, D.C. is not ours. It's an international land, and it's owned and run by the Bank of London and all of those international elitists. So, yeah, it's boarded up because it's not ours. It's not ours. I don't think
it ever... Why do they have it boarded up?
I don't know. The Vatican as well. Dr. T, any last comments you want to make?
No, just Cardio Miracle, EMF Soul, and don't forget to sign up for the boot camp.
Yeah, there it is. And enjoy some fresh air where you can. I want you to know, Dr. T, that people were frantic in the last couple of days. And they wanted desperately to know from me and from other colleagues, what should they do to protect themselves from the air quality that was coming down over the Northeast? And I scratched my head because, you know, we're all subjected to it. One of my first thoughts was stop breathing. You know, is that one way to protect yourself? But, certainly, it's common sense. Stay inside, run your air conditioner, have your air filters on, and look, be trusting of your nose and your nose's ability to protect yourself when you breathe through your nose to protect your lungs.
And get a neti pot.
Yeah, and if you think that this air quality is the first time that you're going to be breathing in sooty, dirty air, you are very mistaken. Because even in their investigation of the snow and the land in the heights of Mount Kilimanjaro, they have found aluminum and barium and cadmium. And so you know that this is not the first time that your air is being polluted by potentially the powers that be. And so be mindful. Be mindful. What can I tell you? All right. Critically Thinking with Dr. T and Dr. P. Today is Thursday, June 8th, 2023. We will see you next week. Stay safe. Stay smart. Stay well, stay in your heart, and we'll see you next week.
Night, everybody.
Night, everybody. Thank you, Cookie and Heather.
Thank you, Cookie. Thank you, Heather.